Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. I always make sure what time I'm supposed to be done. And my dad is a pastor in Illinois, and I know if people are visiting and they go over, it irritates him. So we try to not be irritating to the churches that we're in. I'd like to say thank you for letting us be here. I know this, our mission's candidate school, they told us, they said, keep it short, get support. And it'll be about 5 minutes this morning. No, just joking. And it's good to be here. Thank you so much for letting us come. This is my first time, believe it or not, out to your church and so forth. And so it is good to be here and see you people. And I got to hear your pastor several times out at Cedar River Baptist Camp, and I know he preached with my dad several years out there, and it was always good. And there's not this Bible, but another Bible. I have one of his sermons written down that I refer to still, and can't remember what it is. But I remember one point from it was it's mind your own business. That was that. I don't know why. I can still see you. I can still see my mind's eye. Something that's just always you remember. I remember him saying, "Yeah, mind your own." That was one of his points. But anyways, I have the rest written down. But it's good to be here. I'd introduce my wife, but I don't know where she is. She might be out smoking. I don't know. If I could get her to come to church with me, we'd be doing a lot better on deputation. But no, I think she's back with the baby. So I'll introduce her, hopefully in the morning service, she's back with the baby. So we are missionaries on our way to Madagascar. And if you don't know where that's at, don't feel bad. Most people don't know where the island is. And it is an island. It's the world's fourth largest island. And it's located right off the southeast tip of Africa. I had one pastor say, he said, I think it's near Canada somewhere, but that's a long way from where it is. And it's on the southeast tip of Africa. It's 20 hours of flying time away if you fly from Chicago O'Hare Airport. I think you just about have to go through Paris, France to get there. I think mainly the French and Madagascar Airlines, they go through Paris and so forth. There might be another way, but I don't know of one. And it's an island that's home to more than just a bunch of kooky animals. And no, they don't talk there. And everywhere we go, this cartoon has come out in Madagascar, and the kids are always excited about it. Always excited about us coming to the junior church. And I had one little girl ask me, she said, "Do the animals really talk over there?" I said, "No, I didn't mean any talking animals." But it is known for its plant and animal life and so forth. But that's not why we're going over there. There's 18 million people living on that island. And I was shocked to find out that many people lived there. It's supposed to grow to 28 million people in the next 20 years. And the population has steadily gone up. If you kind of track the census reports and so forth, it has steadily continued to increase. And let me give you a little bit of history about the island. In 1818, the first independent Baptist missionaries that we know of arrived on the island of Madagascar. And they were with the London Missionary Society. They were actually from Wales. There was two couples, and they each had a small child. And they arrived there on the island, and within 6 weeks, five of the six of them had died of disease. And it's still a real high-risk disease area in the world. It's one of those places where malaria, for instance, is endemic and can be fatal and so forth. And other, about any disease you want to name, it's there. And so, but the one man, I believe his name was David Jones. It was either David or Daniel. I can't remember. I haven't looked it up in a while. But David Jones, I believe it was. A hero that you won't really hear about and find out about till you get to heaven. He had lost his wife, his child, his friends. He was all the way across the world from Wales. He stayed. He got a work established and going. And another man from Wales came and joined him and began to help him. And they began to really see a lot of good things happen. And in 1835, 1840, something bad happened. And the friendly president, he died, and his widow became, she took power. And I'm not going to, you know, give any jokes about women or whatever, but it was a bad deal. It really was a bad deal. No one knows really why this happened, but she began a mass slaughter of Christians and foreigners on the island. And she began to execute or exile just about anyone she could find and get her hands on. And so you'll see a place in the presentation where they carried out some of that, some of those executions right there where her palace was. And she really was kind of really a little bit off. But the only thing people can think of is that maybe she saw the, she didn't like people changing to the foreigner's religion from their native religions, and they didn't, she didn't like that, and so that's why she did that. But the missionaries had all but 15 books of the Old Testament translated and published, trying to get the Bible, the Word of God, into their language. They were 15 books short. They stayed under tremendous threat of persecution and undercover. They got the last 15 books translated. They got it printed. They buried some copies of the Bible, distributed them. They left. I think they left when they left. There was about 80 copies that they left on the island, and then they had to leave. And so, because of that, they do have the Word of God there. The gospel has been published. Some, it is being preached. Some, but the sad thing is, in 160 years. Since about 1840, and again, there may have been someone. In fact, I would probably guess that there had to have been someone with all the missionary activity. But, the 1800s, that was the height of missionary activity, and the island was still under a lot of persecution and so forth, and closed to a lot of Christianity and missionaries. So I checked with BIMI, just about any mission board you can name, at least since like the 1960s and 50s and so forth. I've done my research. I've talked to other churches and pastors, and I cannot come up with anyone in the last 160 years that's been there on the island preaching the gospel, planting churches like this one, until missionary Jay Pritchard got there about almost 2 years ago now. And he's the first one, and he's the only one there on the island that I know of. And so, again, I know we hear this all the time in America. I know we do. But don't ever take your church for granted. Don't ever take your pastor for granted. Don't ever take the Bible for granted. We just, and I do the same thing. I grew up where, I mean, we just had, if a Bible wore out, you got a new one from Larry Harrison. I don't think he comes to your church here, the book guy, or the Christian bookstore or whatever. But it's just, in a country like Madagascar, it has not been published. It has not been preached. And you can see, if you ever go, has anyone ever been to a foreign country? Like maybe outside of Canada, okay. Even in Canada now, as it's going downhill. If you've been to another country where the gospel has not been preached, you can see the effect upon the country. And Madagascar is one of those countries for sure. I was telling Pastor Ross last night, the Catholics have been there forever and ever. But like I think he was going through, maybe even last Sunday morning, the Catholics just a lot of times just marry the religion that's there, and they just go hand in hand with it. And so the people, when it all comes down to the end of the day, the people I talk to believe that 95% of the people are still practicing their animism and their ancestor worship. And their ancestors, they believe, are what Jesus Christ, they believe the ancestors are the link between God and man. And they believe man has a spirit and God has a spirit, but the ancestors are the link. That's basically what it comes down to, as far and near as I can tell. Mixed in with that is what they call animism. I don't know if you know what animism is, but it's a system of what they call fatties and taboos, charms, curses, blessings. A lot of demon possession and witchcraft go with that. And let me give you an instance of what it was to be like, and animism is like. In some places in Madagascar, if a couple was to give birth to a little baby, like Ashley and I just gave birth to ours, and the witch doctor would come on a certain day. The witch doctor might come to them and say, you can't keep that baby, because that baby was born on such and such a day, and that day is a cursed day. It's a cursed day, maybe in the week, maybe in the month, maybe in the year, or that date, but it's cursed, and so that baby is cursed. And so that couple would have to take that baby out and maybe bury it alive, or let it starve to death, something like that. And so Satan's thumb is very real upon the people, and a lot of the even physical oppression comes from that animism. Witch doctor saying your baby can't have milk, or or eggs, or something like that, you know, for a period of time or whatnot. And so it affects every area of life, their spiritual life, of course, the most. And so his hand is heavy, you know, just corruption and everything else that goes along with it. And so what makes me sad is that you can see the Muslims there, you can see the Catholics have been there. I was on the plane I flew over on, there was four or five Mormon guys my age, not going over there for a survey trip, but they were going over there to actually take over works that were already established. And it just breaks your heart. I was in the capital city, and I'm taking a little bit more time than I want to take this morning because I have more time. And I was in the capital city, and it's a city of 1.5 million people, and not one independent Baptist church like this one, not one. At least 1.5 million people. And if you've ever been in a foreign country where the heathenism is practiced and so forth and a part of life, it's just, you can see the difference in what we grew up in America. There's no compassion. And people can literally be starving to death on the streets. Little kids, I get up in the morning one morning and I saw these little kids out in tattered rags and so forth running around. When I got back that night, they were still running around. That's where they live. They live on the streets. They try to beg food to stay alive. That's what their whole life consists of. And there's just no compassion. So you're in the midst of all that. And then towards the evening, all of a sudden I was sitting in traffic and all sort of all this stuff, and I began to hear something. And if you never heard this before, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up as a Christian. That Muslim call to prayer began to come out over that city, that section of that city, over those speakers from the Muslim mosque there. And, you know, I thought, and here's a city of 1.5 million people, and these people are real people, just like you and me. I mean, they're different, but they're basically, they need to be loved. They want to be loved. They love. They know they know they're sinners. They know that they have a problems in their life, and they come to the area where they're searching, and many times that's the only voice for them to turn to, and it's a false voice. And so, you know, break your heart. I'm talking, folks. I took a 12-hour trip. It was a rough trip, roughest trip I ever took in my life, and I'm glad I took it because let me see a part of Madagascar. You got to understand something in Madagascar. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, so there's very few roads. What roads they do have are very rough. It took us 6 hours to go 70 miles on one such a road. Those roads are impassable, a lot of them, in the rainy season for 4 months. And you have an island the size of Texas, 18 million people scattered out over 19,000 cities, towns, and villages. And so you can see the need for more than just one laborer there. But because you know, even what we would consider out in the bush, I mean, you're talking hours from, like, you know, from electricity, a cold water or something like that, a bottle of cold water or something like that. But because these people, these villages are on the road at least, they're considered, you know, halfway modern in Madagascar because there's at least a road that goes there. A lot of places there just have an airstrip, if that, and there's people living all in that area. So these are villages that are at least reachable along a road, and we probably passed 100 villages. 65 to 100 villages. I'm talking people that are so poor that when we went by, we drink water all, like crazy. It's hot. You know, you drink bottled water like crazy over there. And we had these empty plastic bottles that had water in them. And the missionary, he would always stop. We saw someone walking down the road, and he'd give them our empty bottle. And man, it was like he gave them something precious. Because they could, you know, carry something in that or put something in that or had maybe writing on it, something like that. Simple people living in villages, living in huts. And all you had to do as a white person was to be there. And you had immediately an audience. I mean, especially if you had a little bag of candy or something like that for the kids. I mean, the adults went nuts. You think kids go nuts over candy. The adults go nuts over it over there. And you had an audience of people who would at least listen to you and hear you out. And so, but just no one's ever come to their village, at least in the last, you know, how many years, the last 20 years or so, no one has ever come to their village. You look at the pictures and the presentation of the capital city, and I don't believe hardly any of those doors have ever once been knocked on. And it's just, it'll break your heart, but it's amazing. If you never had the blessing of going across the world to another country, and you're in a strange place, you're in a strange culture, a strange language, different color skin, everything's different. And you just always feel kind of out of place at first, you know. And then, but on Sunday morning, you wake up, and we were at the missionary's church for two Sundays there. And you walk into that church building, and you talk about a precious thing. You see those people that have been saved, come to church, ladies in their dresses, carrying their kids. You'll see it on the presentation. I saw out there and just videoed them. I can't show it all in the presentation, but so out there, and here they come, bringing their Bibles. And you walk in that building, and you're in a strange place. You're 20 hours away on the other side of the world, and you feel right at home. Because it's the same thing as this church here. We know why that is, because it's the Holy Spirit. And it's the same book, and it's the same God. And there's singing, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and there's laughter, and it's a family. And there's people excited, and there was baptisms. One Sunday we were there. You'll see that. Comes some of that on the presentation. And so that's what we want to do is we're not the answer, but we have the answer. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the establishing of local churches all over that island that are indigenous, they're self-supporting, pastored and run by nationals and trained. And our first goal is to go over there and start a church. And I believe that, you know, churches start ministries. Ministries don't start churches. And I'm a believer in that. And we do eventually want to be involved in, like, maybe an orphanage and camps and all kinds of things, many things we can do. But our first party is to go over there and start a church and then start a Bible college and so forth and begin to train people, you know, to start churches and start churches over there. That's our first goal over there. So that's what we want to do, and just start as many churches as we can on that island and see as many people saved as we can. So please pray for us that God will use us, that God will let us get through deputation. I think we're at about 50 to 55% of our support coming in right now. And just had a good month of June and a good month of July. Some churches taking us on and so forth. Been on the road for about 9 months now. We got a full year of meetings this year and so forth. And just pressing forward. So if you got a prayer card at the table, we'd appreciate it. We'll pray for you guys too. We always do. And if you want to look at some figures and things, interesting facts about Madagascar back there, the kids, there was pirates there and so forth. It was known for that and different things back there. But we should appreciate your prayers. And I hope you enjoyed the presentation. It's 11 minutes long. I try not to say what's on the presentation on the first 10 minutes. When you watch the presentation, I want you to know something. Outside of the church people you see there, 9 out of every 10 people you see, if the facts are right, are on their way to hell. 9 out of every 10, if the figures are right. With that in mind, Paul said in Romans 15:20, he said, "Yea, so have I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." This is a missionary talking. "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And that is our goal for people over there. And so I hope you enjoy the presentation. It'll speak to your heart. Hello, we are the Angels, missionaries on deputation to the island of Madagascar. Ashley and I both had the privilege of growing up in Christian homes and being saved at early ages. We met while attending Oklahoma Baptist College. Just prior to our graduation in 2005, God called us to take the gospel to Madagascar.
I'm speaking to you about the ministry of Ben and Ashley Angel. It is my wholehearted recommendation that you consider taking on this dear couple who are going to the island of Madagascar. They will do something for our Savior, and when you and I get to heaven, we will be glad that we have invested in the ministry of Ben and Ashley Angel.
We are being sent out by and under the authority of my home church, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, pastored by my father, Dr. Terry Angel.
Hello, and thank you for allowing Ben and Ashley Angel the privilege of coming to your church and presenting their call to Madagascar. We're very excited about them going to Madagascar here at Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais. We're excited to have a part in sending them to a place in the world that God cares for very much. Of course, as dad, father-in-law, I'm excited about God's call in their life and the opportunity they have to pursue it by winning folks to Jesus Christ and establishing churches in this very needy area.
Madagascar is located in the Indian Ocean, about 250 miles off of the southeast tip of Africa. It is the world's fourth largest island, only slightly smaller than the state of Texas. Because Madagascar is in the southern hemisphere, its seasons are the opposite of ours. The coolest month is July, and the hottest month is December. If you were to visit Madagascar, you would find it a very diverse place. From rainforests to rice paddies, and inland mountains to low-lying coastal plains, from large cities to remote villages, Madagascar boasts a wide geographical variety. Yet Madagascar is also a very unique country because most of the wildlife and plant life there are not found anywhere else in the world. Long-tailed lemurs, for example, are only native to Madagascar, as well as the peculiar baobab tree, which looks like it grows upside down. The Malagasy people are just as unique and diverse as the island itself. Contrary to what many people think, the Malagasy people are very different from their African neighbors. Many of the people are of the Indonesian or Malaysian origin. However, the Europeans, Africans, and Arabs all came into contact with the Malagasy through trade and colonization efforts. Many pirates, like the famous Captain Kidd, also attributed to its ethnic diversity, as they found Madagascar's numerous coves and inlets a superb hiding place after looting merchant ships in the Indian Ocean. Tales of swashbuckling adventures and legends of buried treasure are still included in the people's folklore today. Because of the heavy Indonesian influence, rice is the main staple of the people's diet. Almost any flat ground is used to grow rice, as well as many fruits and vegetables. Many farmers also raise zebu, the main source of meat in Madagascar. However, there are many other ways to make a living there. But no matter the occupation, one thing is for sure, it will be hard labor. This woman here will carry bricks on her head all day long and be paid only a penny per brick. The average Malagasy makes about $2 a day. In Madagascar, if you have anything to buy or sell, the place to go is the market. It is a very busy, crowded, and noisy place. But the people are generally friendly. If you are Faza, a foreigner, you can expect to pay twice what everyone else pays, even though all the vendors will tell you, "I give you good price." If you're on the low flies diet, you may try Score Grocery Store, but there's still no guarantee. Most Malagasy are content with their way of life. They have no real desire to change anything about themselves. Sadly, they are content to rest in Satan's grip of ancestor worship and the religious traditions of the Catholic Church as well. Even though the Catholic Church and its offshoots can be found everywhere from the capital to the tiniest villages, even though you can see the Mormons busily at work, and even though you can hear the Muslims crying out over a city, 95% of the people are still practicing ancestor worship. Every few years, they will practice a famandrin, a turning of the bones, when they remove their ancestors' bones out of their elaborate tombs, dance around with them, rewrap them, and put them back. They do this seeking the blessing and favor of their ancestors. Around 160 years ago, over 400 Christians were hurled over this very cliff to their death. Unfortunately, since then there has not been a real strong gospel influence on the island. Most people have never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. But some people are hearing the gospel and turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. While I was in Madagascar for my survey trip, missionary Jay Pritchard and the New Life Baptist Church celebrated their one-year anniversary with 42 in attendance and one saved. The very next week, they had 44 in attendance and 5 baptized. Our mission is to raise our support, go to language school, work with Brother Pritchard for 1 year to further learn the language and culture of the people, and then move to the capital city of Tana to establish an independent, fundamental, Baptist, self-supporting indigenous church, and then train nationals for its leadership. Our heart's desire is to be a strong voice, proclaiming the saving grace of Christ to the 1.5 million people living in that city. Night will soon be coming to Madagascar, when no man can work. I wonder how many Malagasy people lived another day without hearing about Jesus Christ, the only true way to escape the fires of hell. Isaiah 42:4 says, "The isles shall wait for his law." But how long? Will it be too late for some? Madagascar has been called the land that time forgot because of a lack of change on the island. But God has not forgotten the precious people there. Will we continue to forget them? Paul said he was debtor to the wise and the unwise, the learned and the unlearned. We owe these dear people a chance to hear salvation story. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." What the Malagasy people need is for Christians to see the harvest through the eyes of Christ.
Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want
your prayers, that we could get there, and the need is so great and so urgent for those people, and so we ask you, please, pray for us, and that God would get us over there in His timing. Turn over real fast, we got about 10 minutes. Turn over to Psalm chapter 65, and this is normally a whole message. I'm just going to give the main points in 10 minutes, and the main thought. I'm going to look at one verse 5. The Bible says there in Psalm 65:5, "By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation." I want you to notice this last phrase, "who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea." Who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. a pastor recently. The purpose of this is to be an encouragement to you. I know I've been down your hall there and so forth, and I got it yesterday. I was looking at all the missionaries, and so not just the missions you guys give to, but the different projects here in the States, and I saw your Bible college students and so forth. But because we're dealing with missions this morning, the purpose is to be an encouragement to you. Maybe Satan, I think the greatest tool that Satan uses to Christians is the tool of doubt. And you know, a lot of times, I mean, a missionary may come back and on furlough every 4 years or something like that, and sometimes maybe they're in a tough place where there's not a whole lot of results or whatever. For whatever reason, maybe Satan may you may find yourself sometimes asking, maybe it's not about missions, maybe it's about giving of yourself to this church here, or things that, you know, maybe the bus ministry, for instance, or something like that. Am I really accomplishing anything? Is anything really happening because of my sacrifice to the Lord, of my time, of my money, of my prayers, of my life, whatever? And this would be an encouragement to you. The pastor told me he thought the key word in giving was confidence. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's true. If you're confident in something, you have no problem giving your money to it. That's not a message just about giving, but think about it. It's true. Everyone in this room there's something. There's a name brand. There's a type of car. I don't know if it's Chevy or Ford or Dodge or whatever it is. I mean, it's a washing type of brand of washing machine for you ladies. Maybe it's a, I don't know what kind of brands it goes in your kitchen or whatever, but there might be a brand name, something like that. Something has your confidence because you're willing to give of your hard-earned money to it, and you trust it. And it really is. There have been times where I have been ready to give. I had money out of my wallet and everything, and then something was said or something happened. I had a check made out, and I'm just not confident that this is going to get to where I really want it to go. You know what I'm saying? Not this is really what I really want to give it to. And then there's been other times where you can see the need, you can see the genuineness of it, you can see you're confident in maybe a church, maybe a something to going on somewhere, a work or something like that. And then it's no problem to give because you're confident in what's going on. And in this area of missions, I want you to know we can be confident in this area of missions. Because ultimately, yes, it's missions is carried out by people in churches and by missionaries. We're all people. But Psalm 118:8 said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And missions is the Lord's work. It's His. It's His ministry. It's His business. And we can have confidence in Him when it comes to this area. Number one, real fast, we can have confidence in His name. Missionaries going out around the world, people that are here in this area right here, staying faithful to the Lord right here, giving to missions or being involved. And I think everyone ought to be a giver and a goer. Everyone, no matter, you know, where you're at, you ought to be giving and going and doing and praying. All three, wherever you're at. But we have confidence in missions because it's being carried out in His name. Now, there is authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There is something different about it. There is authority in the living Word of God. If you ever wondered to yourself when you go out soul winning, you know, well, when I go out and talk to people, you know, how different am I to them than someone else who comes by? From the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or, like, you know, these people, they get bothered. All these, you hear people say, all these religions to choose from out there. Yes, that's true. There's a ton of religions to choose from out there. But I believe with all my heart there is only one message that hits them in the heart and convicts from on high, and that's the Bible. That is the Word of God, the gospel message. This book right here has power that the other man-made thoughts and writings and visions in a cave somewhere just do not have. They have an effect on people's hearts because God has written it to hit them in the heart of their need. And when you go here in your area, when you give in this area, when a missionary goes to another land, we go with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ behind us. Think about it. If you're going to go to a foreign land, especially today, in this world of uncertainty, think about it. And you had with you a signed letter and legal document signed by President Bush himself. Do you think that would give you a little bit of a confidence booster as you went? Do you think that would give you a little bit of protection and a little bit of authority behind your actions and help you out? Yes, it would. And when you go and do anything for the Lord, and you go, and it's in His name, and you go, and it's His business, you have His stamp, signed approval behind you. Whenever apologize, don't ever be fearful. And whenever you stand in front of a Sunday school class, you're talking to those kids or those people, whatever, but you have the authority of God Himself standing right behind you, backing you up, giving you that authority. I can't mention any more on that point. I want you to see number two. We have confidence in His commission. I'm just going to read the verses for sake of time. Don't turn there. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He goes on to say, where to be witnesses to? But then he didn't give them that and then not tell them how to do it. Because in Matthew 28, He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He gave us the blueprint for carrying it out. We have confidence in the way He said to do it. It came from Jesus Himself. And can I say this? It still works today. This church is a testimony to that this morning, that you don't have to have a church that's built on a music program. And you don't have to have a church that's built on entertainment. You don't have to have something that's built on singing groups coming in throughout the week and so forth, and different things and all those things. You don't have to have a church built on being compatible to everyone out there. No, a church can still be built and can still be efficient if it's done the way God said to do it. Win people to the Lord, baptize them, train them, ground them, and then send them out. Faithful men teaching others also. It still will work today. It's going to work because it comes from Jesus Christ Himself. And a missionary or anyone, a pastor or people in the States who do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as mission-oriented, they do it with His authority behind them, His way, it'll work. And then number three, we have confidence in His presence. I like that the last part of Matthew chapter 28. Let me get my thing here. Just to make sure I get it right. And Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." And this verse right here is a precious verse to me. He says, "Who art the confidence," in Psalm 65, verse 5, "of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea." Anything you do, if you do it for the Lord, you do it the way He said it, you have His presence with you, backing you up right there. And I'll be honest with you, whenever I first went to Madagascar on that survey trip, and I got my first time ever out of the U.S., 20 hours away, I was away from my wife. She couldn't go because of the pregnancy and so forth, and then the malaria there. And I got there, and the missionary, I don't know if he meant to do it on purpose, but boy, he just began to tell all these horror stories. And I can remember crawling to bed that night. And I mean, tears began to come down these cheeks, and I was trying to think of any way possible to come back and say, you know, no, this is not what we're doing. This is not where we're going. I mean, I'm serious. Have you ever been there when you're at your wit's end and you're overwhelmed and you can't handle what's going on and you begin to pray and all of a sudden you can't explain it and you can't say how it happens. You can't go through and analyze this is what happened, but all of a sudden the presence begins to be in that room with you and a peace begins to come over your heart and you realize you're not alone in this thing. And God's with there, we're right with you. That's His presence enabling you to do it. Without me, you can do nothing. But I tell you what, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to see real quickly, we have confidence in His reward. John, let me read a couple verses for you in John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. Real fast. Jesus said there, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." You work for the Lord, He'll never ever shortchange you. He may not see it on this earth, but payday is coming. And not only payday, but rewards on top of that are coming. If you do His work in His name, with His presence, the way He said to do it, a reward is coming down the road. And we're out of time this morning, so we'll all go ahead and pray, and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank You for the confidence we have in You, not just in the area of missions, Lord, but in the area of everything we do for You. If we do it Your way, with Your authority behind us, with Your presence, that we're going to be rewarded by You someday. Thank you for your word. It's always good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.